Hello, faithful KKFI listeners. My name is Conspiracy 911 Kennedy, a.k.a. Jake's Computer. I just want to testify that the following show is documented. The evidence is real and verifiable. Names have not been changed, so that the guilty are identified. Please stay tuned to 90.1 FM, and maybe even tell your friends to listen as frequently as possible. Holla.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Injection, fellas.
Suicide is a suicide. Suicide is a suicide. Suicide is a suicide.
We were born. So there's that. And it wasn't a tragedy. Everybody was really excited about that miracle of life that happens every 11 seconds. I remember, everybody was just so stoked. Maybe you don't remember, fair enough. But the reality is, in the law of nature, we were all born. That's why we're here. If there's any philosophy majors in the room, fuck off. On the other end of the spectrum, in the law of nature, there's death. That's the exciting part. It's learning how to live for a living. There's the tricky bitch. But ultimately, once we rise above it, death is no tragedy. Yes. Especially if you're in it right now, I'm not here to demean or diminish the valid grieving process you're going through. But I am saying that the ego attaches such amounts of weight and position to those we lose. But ultimately, death is not a tragedy, and it's not a surprise. Ever since we got here and we could comprehend it, we've all known it's going to happen to every last one of us. And so what I would like to encourage you all to do tonight, besides participating more in your existence, is also to participate a little bit more in psychological evolution and stop making everything such a goddamn tragedy. For instance, you don't have to wait for Katrina to happen to go check in on your neighbor. In between the born part and the death part is something else that happens, that pursuit for life and love and happiness and joy, a sustainable joy, a warmth, not the desperate burning thing you've been mistaking for love, but a true warmth. And in that, oftentimes what happens, and somebody in the room is bound to be going through it right now just by odds. Thanks for waiting to come back till I'm done. Is that sometimes one person loves another person and it's not reciprocated. And the person who loves the most feels like they're the mercy of the person who loves the least. And it may cause them to sit on the edge of their bed for weeks or even months at a time with the wind knocked out of their heart, not knowing what to do with that rejection, the knife fight in their ego, and it's quite a thing to contend with indeed. And the last time I was in it, somebody said to me, forgive and forget. And I remember that while I find that to be a fantastic concept, I had no idea how to implement it, and it only served to piss me off. Forgive and forget. If you're in it tonight, if you're in the sticky tar pit of it, the part where it's been consuming you for a long time and you don't know how to get it out from your vision, I just want to ask you if you would. I know there's nothing I can do to say anything to solve it or take that away for you, but I would just like to ask you to make it have a seat next to you for about 4 minutes and just be with us right here and don't let it consume you right now. Give me 3 or 4 minutes because I want to talk about forgiveness. And what I want to say is this. It's that if we were created in God's image, then when God was a child, he smushed fire ants with his fingertips and avoided tough questions. There are ways around being the go-to person, everybody, even for ourselves, even when the answer is clear. Like the holy water Gentiles would drink before they realized. Forgiveness is the release of all hope for a better past. I thought those were chime shells in your pocket, so I chucked a quarter at it, hoping to hear some part of you respond on a high note. You acted like I was hurling crowbirds at mocking bars and abandoned me for not making sense. Evidently, I don't experience things as rationally as you do. For example, man, I know mercy when I have enough money to change the jukebox at a gay bar. Somebody's got to change that. You know mercy whenever someone shoves a stick of morphine straight up into your heart. It felt amazing the days you were happy to see me. So I smashed a beehive against the ocean to try and make our splash last longer. Remember all the honey? Had me looking like a jellyfish, ain't for you. You walked off the water in a porcupine of light. Strands of gold drizzled out to the tips of your wasps. This, it's an apology letter to the both of us for how long it took me to let things go. It was not my intention to make such a production of the emptiness between us, playing tuba on the tombstone of a soprano to try and keep some dead singer's perspective alive. It's just that I could have swore you sung me a love song back then, and that you meant it. But I guess some people just chew with their mouth open. So I ate earplugs alive with my throat, hoping they'd get lodged deep enough inside the empty spots that I wouldn't have to hear you leaving. So I wouldn't have to listen to my heart keep saying, all my eggs were in a basket of red flags, all my eyes to a bucket of blindfolds, in the cupboard with the muzzles and the guns. You know, I didn't mean to speed so far out and off, trying to drive your nickels to a well when you were happy to let them wishes drop. But I still show up for gentleman practice in the company of lead dancers, hoping their grace will get stuck in my shoes. Is that a handsome shadow on my breath, sweet woman? Or is it a cattle call in a school of fish? Oh, dance with me. Less like a waltz for panic and more for the way we hoped to swing the night we took off everything and we were swinging for the fences. Don't hold it against my love, you know I want to breathe deeper than this. I didn't mean to look so serious, didn't mean to act like a filthy floor, didn't mean to turn us both into some cutting board, but there were knives stuck in the words where I came from. Too much time in the back of my words. I pulled knives from my back and my words. I cut trombones from the moment you slipped away. I don't know, left me looking like a knife fight. Lady boy, no, let me feeling like a shotgun shell. You know, I know I might have gone and lost my breath, but I want to show you how I found my breath to death. It was buried under all the wind instruments, hidden in your castanets. God damn, if you ever want to know how it felt when you left, if you ever want to come inside, just knock on the spot where I finally pressed stop playing musical chairs with your exit signs. I'm going to cause you a miracle. When you see the way I kept God's image alive. If I really was created in God's image, then when God was a boy, he wanted to grow up to be a man. A good man. And when God was a man, a good man, he started telling the truth in order to get honest responses. He'd say, yeah. I know. I really should have worn my cross for you. Again. But I don't want to scare the Gentiles off. That's not what I came here to do. I'm pretty sure I came here to love you.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
straight line. They're going through a tight wind, and the kids are losing their minds. The Blitzkrieg Bop, they're piling in the backseat. They're generating steam heat and pulsating to the backbeat of the Blitzkrieg Bop. Hey, let's go. Shoot 'em in the back now.
The highlights of Sunday television becomes a monitor feature presentation. Youth Wants to Know. Earlier today, teenagers from the Washington, D.C. area met in our NBC studios there to question Judge Samuel S. Leibowitz, judge of Kings County Court of New York. Monitor was there, and we recorded every word so that we might bring you the discussion just as it took place this afternoon. Here now is the moderator of today's program, Steve McCormick.
Switchblade knives and gang fights to robbery and murder. The end result of juvenile delinquency. Today's teenagers have devised such instruments of death and violence as a harmless-looking automatic pencil capable of firing .22-caliber bullets, an attractive trinket, which in reality is a lethal switchblade knife, or an ordinary cigarette lighter converted into a deadly .22-caliber single-shot weapon. Such youngsters are the potential criminals of tomorrow. Today on Youth Wants to Know, to discuss this critical problem, we're pleased to have the Honorable Senior Judge Samuel S. Leibowitz of Brooklyn's highest criminal court, an eminent authority on juvenile delinquency. Welcome to Youth Wants to Know, Judge Leibowitz.
Steve, I've looked forward to come here and talk to the parents and the kids of America and these fine youngsters here. I dare say there isn't a juvenile delinquent among them.
Not one, but they have many questions for you, Judge. These questions and the youngsters here being here under the auspices of the National Education Association. Many questions for you, and let's begin with Marcia. Marcia Conley.
Judge Leibowitz, do you believe that punishing parents is the answer to juvenile delinquency?
No. Why? Because most of the parents who produce these juvenile delinquents themselves need psychiatric treatment and much attention. Now, what are you going to do with a mother who can hardly speak English and has 15 kids growing up in a mud gutter like weeds? How can you punish her? She's so inadequate. She's so incompetent. You get nowhere as punishing parents.
Yes, Joe.
Well, sir, what main thing...
What's that again, Joe?
What one single main thing can be done to help this situation whereby juvenile delinquents are often started by parental control?
Well, let me start out by saying this, that the vast majority of our kids in America are decent, law-abiding kids. And the percentage of juvenile delinquents is a small percentage. But small as it is, it runs into several millions per population. Now, it's a complex problem what to do about parents. My point is that you can do very little with the hardcore families, so-called, of today. They're so depraved, they're so incompetent. You just can't make them over. We had a survey in New York about a year ago, and the figures showed that out of 1 million families, only 20,000 families produced 80% of the juvenile delinquency. And there's very little you can do with those 20,000 families. They're the real problem.
Pete?
Judge Leibowitz, would you say that organized religion is falling down and aiding to prevent juvenile delinquency?
Well, we've drifted away from the houses of God, from the church and the synagogue and the temple. It's true that the attendance is large, but basically we've become a nation that worships material things, the icebox, the high-powered car, all of these gadgets that you see around the house. In other words, we've drifted away from the Word of God and the house of God, and we're worshiping these new-fangled gadgets today.
Trying to change, quietly rearrange, but we're bound to what we were before. So we're hiding in bars, 'cause it's oh, that is ours, and the blame ain't placed on us no more. All been living like we're lawless in a place that only makes you second guess. Guilty stricken like we're helpless for wanting bigger things just like the rest. Bigger things just like the rest.
An infant baby girl has recently made headlines in southwest China after surviving a miscarriage. The little one proved a miraculous survival as she was born at just 23 weeks. Weighing only 660 grams and less than 30 centimeters tall, the ultralight baby girl was affectionately called the chopstick baby due to her height just reaching the length of a chopstick. Dr. Nian Hai, chief of pediatrics at the Southwest Hospital, said she was born after a spontaneous abortion, which is normally almost impossible for a baby to survive. The baby girl is still weak and is receiving special care around the clock in an incubator. The toughest task, according to doctors, is to give the baby injections, as it's extremely hard for paramedics to accurately locate the vein on her tiny hand. The doctors said that as a premature infant, the baby's organs are yet to be fully developed, and the paramedics will have to pay close attention to any abnormal signs that could threaten her fragile life. Father and his 18-year-old daughter set out for a Sunday morning bike ride. They never imagined they would find a newborn baby trapped down a drain.
We actually thought it was, you know, a kitten or something like that. And it was only when we went down there and had a real good look at it that we could hear exactly what it was.
They were riding along a bike track near the M7 motorway in Sydney's west when two men stopped them and said they could hear a noise coming from a drain. New South Wales police were called and the concrete cover was lifted to reveal the baby boy lying at the bottom of the 2.5 metre deep drain wrapped in a blanket.
It would appear by the striped blanket is similar to what is wrapped in babies in hospitals. I can also say the umbilical cord had been cut and had been clamped, so it appears to have some sort of medical intervention since its birth.
Police say the baby was around 2 to 3 days old. The boy is being cared for at Westmead Children's Hospital and is said to be in a serious but stable condition and suffering from dehydration. The child's mother, believed to be 20 years old, has been identified and investigations are ongoing.
Thank you. everyone. I'm Courtney Plunk with Polytech. We're here on our home campus at Texas Tech to see just how much our fellow students know about their country. Let's find out if we're politically challenged. What is your name and major?
Leon V. Hill in psychology.
Jonathan Barnes, and I'm a sports management major.
Allison Eden, and I'm a pre-nursing major.
I'm Mitchell Johnson, and my major is human sciences.
Ryan, in clinical psychology.
I'm Marissa, and I'm a psychology major.
Who won the Civil War?
Who won the Civil War?
We did? The South?
Like, the one in 1965, or what Civil War?
Who won it?
Who was even in it?
Who was in it? Just tell me who was in it.
Ooh, I don't know.
Why you making me do this?
Who won the Civil War? Yeah.
Oh my god. Wait, I'm drawing a blank. It's one of those things. I feel like I'm on the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
America? I don't know.
That's the Confederates, right?
Dang it.
I have no clue.
The Union. The North.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So who is our vice president?
Don't know.
I have no idea.
Of right now? I don't know.
What's his name? Oh my gosh. I have his name in my, space in my head.
Who is the vice president? Is that like a trick question?
Nope.
Okay. I don't know. Oh. I have no idea.
I have no idea.
Don't know.
John. Joe Biden.
Yes.
I don't know.
You're not the only one. A lot of people don't know.
I know, but I still feel so.
Okay, who did we gain our independence from?
These are horrible.
I have no idea.
Do you know what year we happened to?
Absolutely not.
I couldn't tell you.
So like 1677 or something like that.
And what show is Snooki on?
Jersey Shore.
What show is Snooki on?
The Jersey Shore.
Jersey Shore.
Jersey Shore.
Jersey Shore.
Jersey Shore.
And then who is Brad Pitt married to?
Angelina Jolie.
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 And who was he married to before that?
I think it was Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston?
Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston.
Awesome, thank you.
Kim Kardashian essentially broke the internet with her ass and her boobs and, as it turns out, her vagina. Now we all know what Kanye sees. Now, if you looked at all of the pictures, you probably noticed that one of the cover photos showed Kim Kardashian balancing a champagne glass on her butt. I'm not sure what sort of talent balancing a champagne glass on one's ass shows, but the only next logical step is that Kanye is on the cover of Highlights magazine, showing his penis. Which dick is different? Now, not only did Kim Kardashian show off her huge butt, she also showed off her huge boobs, along with her huge nipples, and her hoo-ha. We saw her vag in all of its wax translucent glory. Kim showed us that she's balder than Charles Barkley, barer than the Mojave Desert, and smoother than paper. Which is ironic, because she was featured in paper, on paper, around paper. The whole idea was the damn magazine was called Paper. Now, I don't know what this means for feminism, if anything. I don't know what this means for female nudity, if anything. But I do know that I appreciate Chelsea Handler and her badass ass. Silver lining in all of this is for those of us women who have an ass, myself included, we do have to thank Miss Kim Kardashian, because along with Beyonce, they have proven that nothing is better than being bootylicious.
like all good people, but I was unable to tell. But with yours, you got your fever, but end up giving them mail. If you keep your smile, I'm so big.
British Space Venture is giving ordinary people the chance to leave their mark on the moon while helping scientists scout a possible location for a permanent moon base. Lunar Mission 1 has launched a crowdfunding drive to cover its startup costs and plans to launch a robotic probe by 2024 to drill deeper into the moon's surface than ever before.
Well, we want to know how the moon formed and where the material came from, and we believe it came from the Earth. So we're going to be drilling down to nearly 100 meters below the surface of the moon, never ever been done before. And in doing that, we'll be pulling up core samples of a material that actually were formed 4.5 to 5 billion years ago.
The project aims to reach a target of £600,000 within a month, and for a donation of about £200, donors can have their history and their DNA forever embodied on the moon for the next billion years.
One of the opportunities that people who are part of our program will be able to do is to send digital memory, photographs, videos, life histories, CVs, whatever they want to. And in addition, they'll have the opportunity to send a human hair with the DNA digitized as part of the sample that's stored on the surface of the moon.
The mission aims to send its unmanned module to the moon's unexplored South Pole within 10 years to see if it might be suitable for a permanent base. About how huge stars are born are set to change after astronomers in Chile found evidence that the dust and gas surrounding a young star could survive bombardment by its own radiation. The discovery is very important and challenges the way astronomers originally thought stars were born. The revelation was made using the Atacama Large Millimeter Array, known as ALMA, a $1.4 billion ground-based telescope located in the Chilean Atacama Desert. A star forms from a collapsing gas cloud. The baby star being born attracts gas and dust because of gravity, gradually creating a spinning accretion disk from which planets can be formed. Some of that material is then fired off in supersonic jets of gas. These types of disks are made up of diffused material and are usually found orbiting around highly massive objects in space, including forming stars and black holes. Both the discs and jets have been found around a massive star being born and at the same time emitted ultraviolet radiation. It's already understood that high-mass stars emit ultraviolet radiation in their birth, but astronomers thought until now the radiation would destroy the disks and jets and delay the star's creation. However, ALMA has now shown that the material spiralling around young stars can withstand the radiation and showed that it can peacefully coexist with gas and dust, the first time such a confirmed observation has been made. Scientists working on the groundbreaking Philae comet mission have announced that the lander detected organic molecules on the surface of the comet. The molecules contained carbon elements, which are the basis of life on Earth. However, soon after making the discovery, the battery on the vessel, which has been traveling for around a decade, ran out. Philae lander manager Dr. Stephen Olmanek says the molecules are now being investigated.
We succeeded to identify several organic molecules in the so-called sniffing mode, so detecting the atmosphere, so to say, close to the comet. And we are currently investigating which species of molecules exactly these were in the mass spectrometers, but this will be published very soon.
The purpose of the mission is to discover whether comets carrying carbon-based compounds originally brought life to Earth. The scientists are now hoping that enough sunlight will get through to reload Philae's batteries in coming months as the comet approaches the sun.
Our planet, Earth, beautiful, delicate, yet seemingly massive and powerful to its inhabitants. It remains full of mystery, with history that we've yet to uncover, a new species yet to be discovered. Oceans cover 70% of the Earth's surface, yet 95% of this remains unexplored and unseen by human eyes. Though our planet is magnificent in its own right, it pales in comparison when compared to some of the vast wonders in our solar system, our galaxy, and the universe. Man's fascination with space is a continuation of our collective desire to explore the unknown. So expand your knowledge of the universe with 15 of the most spectacular, immense, and mind-blowing facts straight from outer space. A neutron star is so dense that one teaspoon would weigh a billion tons. Neutron stars result from massive stars which have a mass greater than 4-8 times that of our Sun, exploding in a catastrophic supernova that blows off the star's outer layers. The core remains but no longer produces nuclear fusion. With no outward pressure from fusion to counterbalance gravity's inward pull, the star condenses and collapses in upon itself. An estimated 825 million stars are born every day. On average, we see around 3 new stars being born in the Milky Way each year. These rates vary for different galaxies, but you can say that this is roughly the average over all galaxies. There are at least 100 billion galaxies in the observable universe. Therefore, there are roughly 300 billion stars being born each year, so around 825 million per day. Space has its very own magnifying glass. Galaxies can act as a lens and magnify light emitted from distant objects. This useful phenomenon, known as gravitational lensing, occurs when light rays are bent by the extreme gravitational field of galaxies between the observer and the distant object, thus allowing us to view galaxies farther away that might otherwise be undetectable in astronomical observations. Our galaxy, the Milky Way, will collide with its more gigantic neighbour, the Andromeda Galaxy. The two most massive galaxies of the local group are on a collision course. The Andromeda Galaxy is approaching the Milky Way at about 110 kilometers per second. Don't panic just yet though. Our solar system has a good chance of surviving this massive crash. And it won't take place for at least another 3 to 4 billion years, at which point life on Earth would have become an impossibility. The very farthest galaxies are spreading away from us at more than 90% the speed of light. Galaxies, like our own Milky Way, are carried along by the expansion of the universe and will move apart from every other galaxy, unless they're close enough to hold together with gravity. A trillion years from now, the expansion of the universe would have reached the point at which all galaxies would have become undetectable to any civilizations of the Milky Way Andromeda merged galaxy, leading future astronomers to believe their galaxy is the only galaxy present in the universe. There is a supermassive black hole right in the middle of the Milky Way galaxy that is 4 million times the mass of the Sun. A supermassive black hole is the largest type of black hole, on the order of hundreds of thousands to billions of solar masses. Most and possibly all galaxies are inferred to contain a supermassive black hole at their centers. Our star, the Sun, makes up 99% of all the mass in our solar system. The Sun's core is so dense and hot that normally repellent nuclei fuse together in nuclear reactions that produce vast amounts of energy. On Titan, the atmosphere is so thick and the gravity so low that humans could fly through it by flapping wings attached to their arms. Titan is the largest moon of Saturn. It is the only natural satellite known to have a dense atmosphere. The Apollo astronauts' footprints on the moon will probably stay there for at least 100 million years. Since the moon doesn't have an atmosphere, there's no wind or water to erode or wash away the Apollo astronauts' mark on the moon. That means their footprints, rover prints, spaceship prints, and discarded materials will stay preserved on the moon for a very long time. The middle layers of spacesuits are blown up like a balloon. A spacesuit is essentially an inflated balloon that is restricted by some rubberized fabric. This provides air pressure to keep the fluids in your body in a liquid state. Without it, your body fluids would boil. The largest asteroid ever recorded is a mammoth piece of space rock named Ceres. Composed of rock and ice, the asteroid is almost 600 miles in diameter. It's by far the largest in the asteroid belt that's located roughly between the orbits of the planets Mars and Jupiter. The only dwarf planet in the inner solar system, Ceres accounts for a whole third of the asteroid belt's mass. The surface area is approximately equal to the land area of India. All of space is completely silent. Sound waves need a medium to travel through. Since there is no atmosphere in space, space will always be eerily silent. Sci-fi films and TV shows accompany explosions in space with sound only because it's more satisfying for the viewer. light-years away, there is a planet that is completely covered in burning ice. Gliese 436b orbits red dwarf star Gliese 436 so close that it has a temperature of 439 degrees Celsius. Water boils at 100 degrees Celsius, so how could the presence of ice be possible? Well, the water molecules are kept closely packed together and pulled towards the core, creating ice that appears much like the ice we find on Earth. However, trying to use this ice to cool you down would melt your skin away. Life is known to exist only on Earth, but in 1986, NASA found what they think could be fossils of microscopic living things in a rock from Mars. The meteorite Allen Hills 84001 is proposed to have crystallized from molten rock 4 billion years ago. Based on chemical analysis, it is thought to have originated on Mars from a period when liquid water existed on the planet's surface. Shooting stars really exist. While the shooting stars we see in the night sky are just meteors burning upon entering the Earth's atmosphere, real shooting stars are present in our galaxy and across the universe. Hypervelocity stars can travel at millions of kilometers per hour. They are capable of traveling out of galaxies and are usually thought to gain their speeds when a binary star system wanders too close to a supermassive black hole. One star is captured while the other star is flung away from the black hole at an alarming rate.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
The DNA inside of us is not, the information there hasn't even been, like, barely used yet, because encoded within it is exactly the same stuff encoded within whatever makes a caterpillar turn into a butterfly. And that right now, our brains are based on not being able to fly. Our brains are based on being able to walk north, south, east, and west. But most people, they don't, when they're giving their directions, they don't talk about altitude. You know, that's not built in the way that we move around. So the idea of how much more our brains would evolve if we removed the planet Earth from the equation and now realize that we exist in an infinite space where there is one day, where there is just one day happening. Right now we think that there's this day that keeps happening over and over again just because the goddamn planet goes from a light side to a dark side over and over again. And it gives this incredible illusion, a kind of metronome of time that we think, oh yeah, there's days. And because there's days, there's years, and all these years fold together to create a lifetime, when the truth of the matter is there is not a day. There's rather not a bunch of different days. There's just one day or no day. There's no time. There's no space. There's infinite beingness. That's what we're in right now. But because of our current situation on this gravity well, it's given the illusion of days and minutes and seconds. And then our whole lives become a race to fill those days and minutes and seconds in and be on places on time and get mad because people aren't there on time. And the whole thing is just a wreck.
Time. Now, go find the others. .com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.